also director of mentoring for the Boys and Girls Club of Augusta, Georgia, Mr. Joey Trainer. And gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Great. Which were interesting, to say the least. And Coach Rose is someone that I've always looked up to, and he's always helped me throughout my high school years, helped me to stay focused and be on the right track. And Joey Trainer, a good friend of mine who also works with the youth, as before mentioned, Boys and Girls Club. And gentlemen, today we are going to talk about mentoring today's youth. And Coach Rose was talking briefly before the show. You mentioned that it's a total different generation than the previous one. And what do you see in this current generation with the youth?
Well, first and foremost, this generation, they're not afraid of death. And to be a young person not afraid of dying, that's very unusual. And also with this generation, there's a lack of respect starting at home with parents. And it's just a case where the morals are not the same as they were even when you was in school.
That's true. Joey, your experience mentoring and being around youth, what do you see in this generation?
Well, I do see some similarities to what Mr. Rose was saying. And actually, first let me say I'm the mentoring director at my particular site, the E.W. Hagler unit of the Boys and Girls Club in Augusta, Georgia. We have six different units now, and I'm just happy to be heading of that program now at our E.W. Hagler unit downtown off of Broad Street. But yes, I see, you know, risk where it's not necessary. I see some lack of social skills, you know, that are necessary if you really aim to be forward moving, be upwardly mobile in society. And I see a lot of opportunities for people like yourself, Demetrius, and myself, and Mr. Rose. And actually, it's funny, we could call this the Richmond Show, because I was also at Richmond, and I remember roaming the halls and looking out for Mr. Rose here. yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. Unfortunately, there are risky behaviors now that young people are engaging in. But so the questions that we can answer today are, how do we get those people away from the attractiveness to their more animalistic tendencies, or, you know, to have the drive to be risky in various things, whether it be drugs, sex, alcohol, or other just behaviors that bring their own body under pain and damage.
Now, we have a little less than a minute before we go to commercial break, but Coach Rose, you're also a pastor as well. And when we get back, when we come back from the break, I would like to get your perspective of how you intertwine your duties as a assistant principal and as a pastor when dealing with youth. Is there a balance, or do you take the same approach as principal or pastor? And if you do take a different approach, how do you go about doing that? And, you know, we'll get into that more when we come back from the break. But a very important segment today, mentoring today's youth. Major points of D minor when we return from these commercial messages. And welcome back to Major Points with D Minor. I am your host, Demetrius Minor, and returning with Rod Stewart's Forever Young. And the reason why I chose that song is because my high school graduation, which would be 8 years ago, which shows how old I'm getting, our choir, high school chorus, sung that song. And I'm actually with my high school principal, assistant principal, Dr. Robert Rhodes. And we are talking about mentoring today's youth. And also joining us is Joey Trainer, who is with the Boys and Girls Club of Augusta, Georgia. And we're gonna return the conversation with Dr. Rhodes here. Assistant principal and a pastor, how do you take both of those responsibility in approaching the issues and the concerns, the situations that affect today's youth?
Well, the first thing that I do, I don't bring church to school, and I don't take school to church, because there are two different entities and two different types of situations environment-wise. For example, like at school, there's a set of rules that I have to follow as being an administrator, and the same thing in the church. But the most thing I found out in doing both jobs that are related are you must be consistent. You must care. You must be fair. And you must be genuinely concerned with the welfare of the particular student that you're dealing with. Because they can tell when you're faking it. And if you're faking it, you will not succeed in getting any kind of progress out of these young people.
As Coach Rose, I myself am involved in church ministry and particularly working with the youth. And I found out that transparency is huge. Is one of the main key, one of the main ingredients to breaking through to them, for them to talk to you, and for them to let you know what's going on in their life. Do you think transparency is effective? Have you used that in your methods in reaching out to young people? Or what other methods do you use?
Right. Well, I think a lot of what young people are expecting, what they want, but what they can't communicate is that they want sincere, which I think we can use as a synonym to transparent, sincere
right.
and present adults, whether it's in a parental figure or a pastor figure or a youth leader or a youth director. And if you can be sincere and present with those young people, really one-to-one or even in a group setting, be real with them, then they'll bring their issues up. And we make breakthroughs every Sunday in my youth group because we have a covenant together that we can share and we can explore and we can question, but we can learn together, and we can really be sincere, whole people in that group and in that space, which is a good point to sort of parallel with what Mr. Rhodes was saying about how the two roles, you know, while you may have different hats on at the times, those qualities that he said are definitely crucial in reaching anyone in any space, really.
Right. Now, I think we're both, all three of us are aware that everybody's not going to listen to you. So Coach Rose, you know, I was a knucklehead in high school, but like you told me, he said the thing with me was that you saw the potential in me. You know, for me, it was more so just focusing, staying focused and not being distracted. In your years as assistant principal, well, first of all, how long have you been an assistant principal?
Since 2000.
So going on 11 years. And what are some things that you've seen issues concerning young people when you first started off up into the current moment? Can you kind of compare and contrast the different needs?
We can say attitude is not the same. And many times when I talk to students in my office, I explain to them that skill is good, but attitude is taking place where skill won't. Because no one wants to be around a person that has a lot of skill but a negative attitude. And the thing we've also found that every young person wants boundaries, but they'll never tell you that. Every person wants to be loved, but they may not tell you that. And the thing that I've found is, in being an administrator and also a pastor, young people are always watching. They watch for your weak points, and they watch your strong points. And the thing that I've learned as a pastor and also as an administrator, an educator, and a teacher, and a coach, is that you have direct contact with some young people, but then again, you have indirect contact with those that watch you and try to pattern themselves after what you're doing. And the thing about young people, they all want one thing from adults. Be real. Be real, and you got to care. And you got to be consistent in your caring, and you don't play favors. And one thing that any young person could say about me at ARC throughout my whole teaching career, I never play favors. And I learned that from being a student at Joe's High School with my coaches, James Roundtree and Arthur Weeks. They really taught me a whole lot about being a coach and also about being a person. And the thing about education today, as well as being in the ministry today, is that we have to go out there, and one thing that you have to have, you cannot be afraid of. And you find that many adults are afraid of young people, which is crazy. Because it's kind of like in nature. When there's fear from the being of animal that you're approaching, you can sense it. And the same thing is like when you deal with young people today. They know if you're afraid of them. And if you're afraid of young people, you may as well just stop what you're doing and go do something else.
And I think that's, you know, the animal instincts. Like, say if you come, you approach a wild animal, and, you know, they sense fear, then, you know, they move upon that fear. They act upon that fear because you show that you are intimidated by them. And I know we talked about being real, being sincere, in our actions, that will compel them to develop into a better person, a better young person. How do we get them to be more constructive with their time? I mean, because, you know, a lot of the young people are involved or interested in pop culture, they're interested, you know, video games and technology, all these technological advances that we have. And Joy, I'm going to start with you. How do we get young people to be more constructive with their time involving their community?
Well, we have a standard at the Boys and Girls Club that we try to establish with our leaders, and that is that it takes 27 points of contact before you can make an impact on a young person. And those points of contact can be as simple as watching a television program or playing a game or encouraging them with, you know, with some celebratory words. But it takes 27 of those really to get an impact, to be able to say you can measurably determine that young person will be affected positively by what's happened. On the converse of that, it only takes one negative point of contact to just shut a child down, which I guess kind of comes back to what you were saying about, you know, you come on an animal and they're ready to act. It's a fight or flight sort of thing.
Right.
And to piggyback on what Mr. Rose was saying, you know, I try to use this term as much as I can because poor attitude is just terrible. The mantra is attitude is everything. If you can change attitude, you can change anything, which is really true. You change the way you're thinking about a situation and you can change direction, really. And also James Baldwin, I think, familiarized the saying that children may not always listen to you, but they will never fail to imitate you. So when you speak about how do we influence these children to becoming a part of constructive things, becoming a part of civic organizations, or really caring about their education in order to better themselves in life and achieve some really, you know, some realistic but also fulfilling dreams and goals. And it really means being a deliberate example. And it's difficult because, you know, the kids are in school all day and adults are at work, or, you know, you may be involved in some program, or you may be involved in some club as an adult that kids do not see. And so it doesn't translate to them that maybe I should be a part of something that's better than myself. And that's where church really comes into play. Church can be a great example for being a part of something that's greater than yourself. So specifically, what do? We target the kids that need it. You know, we determine, and in mentoring, which mentoring is really just one aspect of influencing young people, it's a specific pact that a young person and an older person, or if it's peer-to-peer, that a peer will make with that other person. And they will decide that for a minimum of a year to 3 years, they're going to come together, they're going to find the strengths in each other, and they're going to try and channel that into positive action, which can be anything from community service as far as creating opportunities to raise funds for organizations or for causes, to becoming really active and mastering a skill or a sport. Now, these are all specific examples that I'm sure some of your listeners may have in common. Maybe if you look at your own life and decide, well, I'm successful at X, you know, that's a skill, that's something valuable that can really touch a child and make them see, well, okay, wow, it's not just about rims, it's not just about the newest jersey or shoes, you know what I mean? You know, this is something that I can accomplish that can not only better myself personally and my reputation, but can really live on, can really continue.
And Joey and Coach Rose, is a lot of things that one thing that I have observed is that young people, it's not that they don't lack the potential. I believe sometimes they just lack the will, because they're more talented, they're more gifted than previous generations before. I mean, I believe that's very obvious. But like I said, sometimes they just lack the will to get motivated. And would you agree with that, Coach Rhodes?
Basically, yes. When you deal with young people today, you must make sure that they understand the word accountability, understand the word focus, understand the word sacrifice. Because, example, I give this example to a lot of young people. This is your job, to get out of high school, pass all your classes. So why don't you go to a class and fail when you're going 5 days a week? That's a waste of your time and the teacher's time. But then again, also ask them about short-term goals. If they can reach their short-term goals, then they can get to their intermediate goals. Then from there, they can go to the long-range goals. But the thing with it is, you have to be in a position and also understand how they're thinking. For example, back when I was coaching, I started off with Don Rock at ARC as his assistant. We had about 20 plays. By the time he was getting ready to leave, we were down to 5 plays because the players were not focused, because the focus was on something else. And the same thing applies to the young person today in the academic classroom. The focus is not on the academic material. The focus is on getting up, leaving early, on rap songs, or being in this group, or using drugs, or just getting together after school, cutting school. And they have to learn how to be accountable for the actions. And once you establish the thing about accountability with them, then you can bring in the other things like discipline, being able to focus, and if you need help, you get the help. But the thing with it is, you got to stay consistent with them when you're dealing with them. Because even the non-focused student in the classroom, everybody is watching the adults. And they could tell you almost the routine of a teacher in any classroom because they're always watching. And the thing as adults, we must be role models all day at school in the community. Because how can they listen to us or follow our example when we're not doing the right things too? So that's why it's very important that we as adults be in a position to always do the positive things on the workplace, as a teacher, as a minister, as a coach, because it is important that these young people can see that there are positive things that they can get out of doing, of going to school and then going on after school.
Yeah, and I agree with that because, you know, you were familiar with me, in school suspension, but I had to be accountable for my misbehavior. And we'll talk more about that when we return from the break. But those disciplinary experience helped me mature and develop a better moral character for myself. And we're going to have more with Dr. Robert Rhodes and more from Joey Traynor because we have a commercial break coming up. Hang with us. This is Major Points with D Minor, returning after these messages.
Talk Radio 1380, WNRR AM North Augusta, where news radio rocks.
Ontario Zanich with the Georgia News Network. House lawmakers are considering a constitutional amendment that would dedicate fees collected on tire purchases in Georgia to go towards solid waste disposal. That was the initial goal of the fee when it was established in 1992.
It's a good idea. It's just unfortunate we're not using it the way we said we're going to.
Lilburn Democrat Brian Thomas says the legislation is currently stalled. Federal money to reimburse local law enforcement for the cleanup of toxic meth labs has run out, which means local agencies will now have to foot the bill. Hundreds of bikers turned out to help raise money to support the family of Georgia State Trooper Chad LaCroix, who was killed on the job 4 months ago. The man accused in his slaying is in jail awaiting trial.
Welcome back to Major Points with D Minor. That was the legendary Marvin Gaye with his hit song, What's Going On? And sometimes when we look at the chaos and the concerns, circumstances involving the young people, sometimes I ask myself, what's going on with this current generation? And what must I do to make a positive impact on on their lives. And speaking of positive impact, honored to be joined here by my former assistant principal, Dr. Robert Rose. And during my high school years, I was known to kind of time fall off the path and go a little bit wayward, but Dr. Robert Rose, through his appropriate disciplinary actions, he wasn't just a principal, but he became a mentor and he became a friend to me during my high school years, and helped me to be focused and helped me to progress, not just mentally, but also on a spiritual level. And Dr. Rose was sharing a story with me during the commercial break, and I want him to share this with our listeners. Once again, if you want to call in, the number is 803-426-8022, 803-426-8022. And Coach Rose, you was telling me a story of an encounter I had during my senior year in high school. And I vaguely remember it, but I would like for you to share that story.
Yes, when you was a senior during the second semester, you was in your PE class. And I got a call on my radio that a student was in the classroom, screaming, yelling, crying, praising God, talking about God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And when I got down there, it was you. And I understood exactly what God was doing to you, because God was taking you to another level. And sometimes with God, when you go to another level, you have to go through something. And what you did was in front of all your peers, and you had no shame. Because when you're praising God, everything else is secondary. And that's what God taught you on that particular day. And the thing that I got from it was that God will always come into your life at the appropriate moment, at the appropriate time. Because during our conversation over the years, sometimes you'd be up, sometimes you'd be down, but I was explaining to you that when you're in a parent's home, there are rules you have to follow. You have to follow their rules.
That's right.
You can't deviate from the rules. You can't add nothing to the rules. You follow those rules of the house, too. And that's what you did as a young man, and I was really, really impressed with that. But that day in school, when you just let it all go and started praising and shouting to God, that brought me to another level in God also, that when God is ready for you to go to another level, He has no respect of where you are. But He'll also make sure that when you do it, He will not disrespect you or make you be embarrassed by your peers.
Well, thank you, Coach Rose, for sharing that story. That's, even though that was 8 years ago, that still, now that you mentioned it, is impacting me now as we speak, and influencing me. And wow, that's pretty amazing. Joey and Coach Rose are both involved in their churches, with Coach Rose, Dr. Rose, being a pastor, and Joey, I believe, being a youth leader. Joey, could you describe or discuss with us your influence with your church youth group on the spiritual level?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, a lot of what we study are about the ones that came before us, and it's really important to really get grounding on who's made important discoveries in life and epiphanies. And the church that I attend is the Unitarian Universalist Church of Augustine. Many of our ancestors are the founding fathers and leaders in civil rights and social justice, and we carry the messages of Jesus as far as a revolutionary. We take those home, and so we study the things that many religious leaders have done, and many of our forefathers have done. We try to live up to those examples. And so, as far as within the church, every Sunday, you know, those are the kinds of things that we talk about. We really try to get into the minds of young people that really don't have grounding yet. You know, there's a lot of things going on in their heads, but they don't know necessarily where to put it, how to order it, what to call it. And so, you know, the purpose of the church, purpose of our leaders, purpose of our mentors is really to put some order in there, let them know that these are directions that you can take that will better yourself spiritually, mentally, socially. You know, that's what we try to do. Absolutely.
You know, for a long period of time, the church, when I say the church, I'm saying generally, was taboo on subjects that was really, really impacting the youth, like sex. I remember when I was little and, you know, I was talking about it to someone. It's like, oh, you said that, I swear, you're not supposed to say that. And I'm thinking to myself, it's a part of life. It's something that's impacting our youth. It's something that they're facing on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, sex or pornography, alcohol, drugs, you know, things that will make us feel uncomfortable, and it should make us feel uncomfortable because it's having such a major impact on the youth today. And I know we only got three more minutes before.
If you let me speak to that, I've got a, actually through my church, one of the most, one of the programs that had the biggest impact on me was called OWL, Our Whole Lives. And it was very important on the topic of sex to help develop the individual as being comfortable with themselves, with the body they've been given, and be safe with the decisions that they will make in their lifetime, and really make educated decisions about them. So that was a great example of a program where they were sincere and they were present. It was a program that respected the fact that we were coming into it not knowing much, or maybe having a lot of misinformation to deal with, as a lot of children, as a lot of young people do now. And as sex is propagated through music videos and violent acts are set through TV shows and movies, it's not a great example. And so there is room for the church. There is room for adults, you know, mature, educated adults to be there and answer the questions and make sure that they're prepared, because it was one of the things that really prepared me. And the program has proven to diminish the likelihood of risky behavior in young people over the lifetime. It's proven to diminish to diminish the number of sexual partners ultimately that people will have, and ultimately they just make better choices all around. And through that program, All Her Lives, it's not just about sex. You also learn about alcohol, drugs, and also relationships that can be unhealthy that kids nowadays are actually tending toward, because the pop culture is so propagates these messages of violence, of drama. You know what I mean? It's, you know, kids are now tending toward drama and being over dramatic because of the way that these things are being presented to them.
And this, I'm going to go back to what Coach Rhodes said, and I'm talking about a lot of young people just forget that there's a thing out there called accountability, and that the choices and the decisions we make, we're going to have to be accountable for that. And we have about a few seconds left before our final commercial break here. And when we return from the commercials, I'm going to start off with Dr. Robert Rose on talking about how we can provide alternative to what's being offered out there through pop culture, just through the media, mainstream media. As spiritual-minded people provide an alternative to youth. And I mean, of course, we can always think of, you know, church on Sunday or midweek, but part of me believes that we can actually go beyond that and do more than that.
For example, my wife and I, Pastor Felicia Rose, she's a co-pastor at our church. We were at Faith Kingdom Life Center, and we were the youth pastors there. And we became one of the first dance groups in the whole CSRA that danced in the church. And at the beginning, a lot of people thought we were worshiping Satan. They thought we were wrong. But the thing is this, if you don't let them dance in church and teach them how to do it correctly, where's where they learn how to do it correctly, except in the clubs or parties. And so we had a dance group called the Faith Steppers, and we went everywhere dancing. And for several years, we would dance at Thanksgiving Classic at Augusta State. And but the thing about it that we already knew, because that was our calling in the beginning, were young people. My wife's a very energetic, outgoing, and she cared about everything. But then I'm coming along, I'm very methodical, and I don't rush into nothing, so we made a good pair, you know, at church. And what we did was, our kids danced, we would take them out to breakfast, we would take them to outers like Charleston, the Christmas lights, you know, in another smaller town. You know, we did things with them that were in church and also socially to try to help them learn how they should conduct themselves in a social atmosphere and also how to have God, because when we're at the church at our Faith Kingdom, before the kids would dance, they had to recite this, Father God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, and they did it 7 times. Then they would proceed to do a dance. Now, at our current church's Faith Kingdom Life Center at 154 Davis Road, we have Fourth Sunday. Fourth Sunday, they speak, they worship God in a dance, they do everything in the church while adults sit down, because how else are they going to learn it if we don't teach them and let them do it? Because the thing about being a young person, many times they are lacking self-confidence in life itself. But you allow them to start doing things that will help their egos and their maturity, you'll find that they gain their confidence in themselves. And then that's one thing that God wants all of us to do. Because when God says he has no respect for person, he has no respect for person. He don't care about age. He don't care about gender, economic status. He's just looking for people that are going to serve him now. And in this present time, in God's last movement, he's choosing young people that were drug dealers, that were drug users, alcoholics, that were disrespectful, they got criminal records. He's just looking for people that will carry out his last movement and follow his instruction to the letter. And if you look at the way things are going now, all the so-called leaders that we have in religion, they've been exposed for what they truly are. And that's why God is now in this last movement. He wants people that will serve him. And if you think about the Bible, and Matthew talks about Jesus said, let the children come unto me. The same thing applies today. If you got young people in the church, allow them to work in the church. Teach them the word, and then let them display what they've learned in the word.
Thank you. Very good insight. And Joy, you're also involved with church ministry. And even though we may come from a maybe different spiritual upbringing or not, I think our common goal, our common purpose is to see young people excel, of course, mm-hmm. academically, and, you know, and on a spiritual level. What do you think is a good alternative to what mainstream society is offering? I know you mentioned the OWL program.
Sure. And that's just one example of something right. that's within my particular church, and I know there's actually a program that's similar to that we actually do teach at the Boys and Girls Club. So it's a different, you know, again, with the different hats, as Rose was saying, you know, there's the church hat and there's the school hat, and you just have to, the same head, the head's the same, you just got to change the hat sometimes. I'm not so much worried about the kids that are in the church or that I see at the Boys and Girls Club as I am worried about the kids that don't come to the Boys and Girls Club, that think it's not cool enough, or that don't go to church, maybe because they don't have transportation or the interest or, you know, the wherewithal, or they've got something else to do. But I think the best way we can get to those kids, the ones that really are at risk, it's beautiful to hear about the kids that are at Mr. Rhodes' church and doing the things that they're doing. And that's what you're doing there is you're giving them something to do and you're encouraging them to do it, and they're doing it to the fullest. And they may surprise you. So what we need to do is really get to the kids that aren't making it to those facilities or to those adults. You know, if a lot of times in disenfranchised neighborhoods, there's a church on every corner. If one person in each of those churches took a mentorship, took a leadership role in a child in that area, then we'd have a surplus of mentors. We'd have a surplus of leaders. And the next generation will be better for it. Now, that's to say also that not everyone is cut out to be a mentor, but everyone has a talent and can provide time or make a positive impact in a child, whether it's directly or indirectly, whether it's supporting a recreational team, whether it's supporting a Boy Scout troop, whether it's supporting a Girl Scout troop, whether it's supporting a Boys and Girls Club, for example, or United Way, or whether it's you know, volunteering at a school. There are so many opportunities, and people just need to know what to do. If you got a question, please cut me off, but I wanted just to say that mentoring and this type of leadership is not a substitute for parenting. Parenting will always be primary.
I'm glad you hit that. You're a mind reader. You are an absolute mind reader, because okay. I was about to say, Coach Rhodes and Joey, at the current moment, you are something that I covet and something that I do, the title, I do not have the privilege of bearing as of yet, and that is a parent. Hopefully one day the good Lord will allow me to have the opportunity to experience such joy. And how old is your son?
My son is entering the terrific twos. We're not going to call it the terrible twos. If we call it terrible twos, we're setting ourselves up for a disaster.
I like that mindset.
We're calling it the terrific twos, and so far, so good. He's learning at the speed of light, and we're keeping it up. But I'm glad, because I'm a younger parent.
I want to get your perspective as a younger parent, and then I'm going to have talk to you about you being an older parent.
And you know, we're starting out, 3 years into this, and 2 years, and just in preparation, because it takes preparation. If you're not preparing to be a parent, if you're not actually preparing yourself for the role, then you're putting your child at a disadvantage. And studies show that people who are prepared for the task, who are seeing it in their short-term or long-term future, ultimately will make more success for themselves, for the family, for the young people. And honestly, when we talked about disrespect and risky behavior, in the first 5 years is when you learn those habits. And it's very important to make sure that what, regardless of your disciplinary tactics, that you make it clear that it's your house, that it's your rules. The Boys and Girls Club, I mentioned before, the attitude is everything. If you change your attitude, you can change anything. Sometimes the kids will say, well, I don't want to do that, Mr. Joy. And I say, you know what? It's not your club. It's the Boys and Girls Club. And while you're here, we're going to do what the Boys and Girls Club has in store for you. Okay? You want to do what you want to do? Get your own club. Get the money together. Get the education together. Make your own club, and it can be the so-and-so club. Okay? It's not Mr. Joey's club either. We're going to do what Boys and Girls Club has in store. So, again, at your house, make sure it's, when it's Demetrius' house, it's Demetrius' house. Okay? And that's what we're going to do here. You get your own house someday, and you can make the rules. All right? And, it's about, as far as parenting goes, it's about giving them attention. You know, kids will act out because they want the attention, or they're not getting the proper education. Again, you just keep being back to sincere and present. You can be a sincere and present parent. You can get off the computer. You can get off the phones. You can get off the texting, and really spend time with parents. You spend time with the children. And as mentors and as leaders, you can really be present and sincere, and be a distraction to the negative things, so they can be involved in positive things.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left, and Dr. Rose, I'm going to let you have the final thoughts on parenting and the influence it has on youth.
Parenting is a very important thing, because it's not a clock job. It's a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week job. Because even when your kids are up and going out into the world, they always call back to Pewaukee for advice, or they come by and see you for advice, because it's important that you always make yourself available to your children. And then the other thing is, you plant those seeds right now. For example, when I was a teen coming up, I went to church. We walked 2 miles to church and 2 miles back home. And once I got to college, I said, God, I'm free. But the seeds were planted, and I had to get up at least once a month and go to church in college. All because my mother planted those seeds within me then, so that I've learned as an adult, you plant the same seeds in your children now, and they will always come back. I don't care what they will do, they will always come back and do the things that you taught them to do. Because those seeds will come up, and God wants them to sprout and spread out wide. And also, we've also been foster parents to a lot of kids also. And one thing about our house, on Sunday morning, you get up and go to church pew. Nobody sleeps in, because serving God is the most important thing that you can do to augment your life now, because you got to have that balance. And your spiritual life gives that balance to you in the natural. And that's one thing that we're teaching our kids right now at home, and also the kids at church. You got to have that spiritual balance in your life, because if you don't, you'll always come out on the negative side.
And I'm a testament of how good parenting, has a great impact on children. I have wonderful, gracious parents. And I remember when they moved, moved to Hampton, Virginia. And as a young man living on my own, facing the temptations of society, it's easy to give in, but I go back to my roots. I go back to the training and how my parents were, in essence, the greatest mentors I could ever have, and how that training and those values that they instilled in me still impacts my life. Dr. Robert Rose, thank you very much. Joey Trainer, thank you so much for coming.
One thing.
Yes, we have about...
We want to invite everyone out to our church at 154 Davis Road in Augusta. And everybody's welcome, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter. You just come to serve God and hear the word.
Thank you so much. We learned a lot spiritually and how to impact our young people, not only from a spiritual level, but from a community level. That's it from Major Points of D Minor. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. The R.